you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into the pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and that is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman came from that region, came out and started shouting, "Have mercy upon me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May only words of truth be spoken, and only words of truth be heard. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many years ago, I saw a t-shirt, the picture of an ostrich. You know how ostriches can look really bug-eyed, right? And it said, "Relax! My tension's the only thing holding me together." Well, I'm not about to suggest that the tension I'm going to speak of today holds the whole of Scriptures together. The readings do explore one of the most important tensions that exist in the Old and New Testaments, and that really hold together the story of God's chosen people. Because at the same time that God chose the people of Israel, it's clear that the history of God's dealings with the world is ultimately meant to include all people, not just those of the children of Abraham. It's a tension that begins with the calling of Abraham to be the father of a great nation. God calls him into a special covenant relationship. And in so doing, God sets apart one people from all the others and listed his expectations that he had and saw their whole story in the light of the promises that he made to them and that they made to him. You will be my people, and I will be your God. That tension then goes on to be illustrated as God shepherds his people through all the challenges of becoming a nation, having kings, sometimes following, sometimes failing God's designs. Then the division of the land of Judah and land from the rest of Israel, the ultimate humiliation of being sent into exile, and all that happened once they were free to return. But God also tells Abraham that all the families of the earth shall be blessed in him. So in the midst of this long history, Scripture also speaks of Israel's role as a sign to the other nations, to draw them into knowledge and relationship with God. As we heard in the reading from Isaiah this morning, the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. My house shall be a house of prayer for all peoples. I will gather other besides those already gathered. And in the psalm, let your saving health be known among all nations. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. And it's that same tension that we heard in that rather confusing passage from Paul's letter to the Romans today, trying to reconcile the fact that Israel as a people rejected Jesus, their long-awaited Messiah, and, on the other hand, the scope of Paul's mission to bring the good news of Jesus to the other nations, all the non-Jews, basically everyone else in the known world at that time. How to reconcile, then, that unique covenant with Israel and yet proclaim God's openness to welcoming and saving all who come to him through faith in Jesus? In another passage, Paul tells of how he confronted St. Peter with what he saw as the obvious resolution of this tension, and that was that God in Jesus was sent to all peoples. And he used this compelling image of a new branch being grafted onto an original root to try to capture the essence of the gospel that he had received and the breadth of the mission that he felt called to carry out. Then finally, in today's gospel reading, we see a turning point in Jesus' awareness of his own calling. It would have been taken for granted by any man growing up in Israel at the time, following in the long line of the prophets that had come before them, that when the Messiah came, he would be sent, as Jesus said, only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to bring God's historical people back into a right relationship with God. But then Jesus encountered this woman. At first he wouldn't even listen to her, her plea for the healing of her daughter. It's not fair to take children's food and throw it to the dogs, meaning you're not a Jew, I've not come to help you. And even worse, if you do not belong to the people of Israel, you're somehow less than human in God's sight. And yet this simple passage, this simple encounter, becomes a scene in which we see Jesus' understanding of his role shift, expand, actually explode. Was it the woman's humility, not objecting to being called a dog, even for the crumbs, as long as she could get help for her daughter? Was it the repeated reaction of the disciples to get rid of people who challenged their vision of what Jesus was there to do? First, they wanted to send away the crowds at the feeding of the 5,000, stop the children from coming to bug Jesus, ignore anyone like this woman who rocked their boat? Or was it that Jesus had just finished saying that it's not what goes into a person that separates them from God's love, but what comes out of them? How they think and speak and act. Maybe it was that that shows the true state of their heart. You can almost see him kind of realizing, seeing the things fall into place, that this attitude, his attitude toward the Gentile woman, contradicted the whole message of God's universal love that he was at such pains to proclaim. Whatever the reason, something happens in this encounter. Jesus overcame the shame of being shown up by a woman in front of his friends, overcame the prejudice of having a Gentile call him a Jew to account, and he opened his eyes, his heart, his whole mission beyond the lost sheep of the house of Israel to encompass all people. It was a huge moment that paved the way later on for Paul to successfully challenge the other apostles who had adopted a more limited interpretation of what Jesus had actually achieved by his death and resurrection. I find it reassuring that Jesus had to learn as he went along. It shows his true humanity, despite his divine call and nature. He had to figure things out as he faced real life situations, real people, real problems, just as we do. Reassuring because we face the same kind of tension in how we understand and live out our faith. To what extent can we rely on recognizing people who are trying to make the love of God a reality in our world, as distinct from the extent to which we need to let others challenge us out of comfortable limits that we've come to accept? How should we be listening to? Who should we be listening to? And who is God working through to stretch us beyond what we've inherited and have already worked out about our own calling, whether as individuals or as a church? Like the people of Israel, we've been called. We are loved. We declare Jesus is Lord of all. Yet too often we either don't bother trying or give up trying to see how God can use those who are not us to spur us to a more universal living out of the love that we've received. Being called is a gift, one that pushes us to find ways of seeing how others are also called to share it. Others whose path may be very different from our own, but in whom our God lives and moves as mightily as in those we already call brothers and sisters. Isaiah wrote, "I will gather in others besides those already gathered." May we have eyes to see and ears to hear how and where this gathering can happen and is already happening, no matter the saving tension that it causes. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we gather in community this morning to seek your presence. In this moment, we turn our faces to you. Be gracious and bless us, Lord. Turn your face towards us. Let us feel the light and the warmth of your countenance. Our roots stretch back to span the globe, yet they have led us to this place. Gratefully, we acknowledge that you are God over all the nations, Lord. Where they jostle and seek for position, hoard up weapons of war in misguided bid for security, mistreat the land to which we belong, you command us to maintain justice, to do what is right. In your honor, Lord, we mark our hearts with the Sabbath. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all peoples, of the foreigner and the stranger, you offer deliverance and gather the outcasts. You are making your way known throughout the earth, and your saving power is felt among all nations. Lord, we pray that you grant us the eyes to see this power, to see your work in the world. Grant us the sensitivity to feel your hands at work among the people. Far too often the world appears to us as the pit opening. Our leaders turn from commitments to protect the refugee, the stranger, turn from commitments to protect the earth, even as it is raked by fire. Far too often we are the blind, led by the blind. Grant us vision of your saving power. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, we beseech you, let your continual care protect the church. For in need of your mercy, we remain imprisoned in disobedience. Shape well our hearts, that what comes out of our mouths may honor you and reflect your gifts and your irrevocable calling. We pray for Catherine, our bishop, Anne, our metropolitan, Shane, our primate. We pray for all those in leadership here, Alan, Christina, Pat, Nick, Carrie, Au, Monica, Barb, Chris, and especially for Gary, that his Sabbath may be a blessing. We pray for those clergy who will minister to us in this Sabbath period, for Paul, Tim, and Pat. Guide them, Lord. Direct them to the needs of this community. And we pray for our community ministries, especially for Center 454, as they search for space to minister to those our society has cast out and forgotten. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, your house is called a house of prayer for all people. Fix in our mind's eye your holy mountain and guide us into your presence. We join our voices to those of all nations in praise and worship. We ask for your blessing for those close to us who might be sick or in need. Lord, we pray for Dixie, Earl, Kevin, Alice, and David. All the things that weigh upon our hearts, Lord, we lift them and give them over to you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.